Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
SGPN has finally given the fans what they wanted, an authentic college football playoff. 16 teams are going to go head-to-head in a simulated world to decide who is truly college football's greatest team. No committee here. These games are decided on the field, and to make it even better, we're giving away $500 for whoever has the best predictions on a virtual world. $500 of real money. The games will be simulated on Twitch. The game results will be uploaded at 1 p.m. Pacific on Monday. The final championship game will be simulated live on YouTube at 4 p.m. Pacific with live play-by-play from the SGPN crew right before the national championship game. You want to know how to win this $500? Go right now. Download the SGPN app. Hit the contest tab. Submit your entry for who you think is going to win. Brackets are going to close at 1 p.m. Pacific on Monday. Make sure you get on this. It's free money giveaway for picking a virtual winner. Head over to the SGPN app right now and make that happen. The SGPN Fantasy Football Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. We're also brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a free-to-play app that lets you bet on all your favorite NFL player props for a chance to win awesome prizes. Download the app today over at BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. That's BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. We're also brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen? We are to the point where fantasy football is definitely over. I mean, this is it. If you're in championship week 18, first of all, I feel kind of sorry for you because that's a rough week. The last week of the NFL season is not a very easy week to play in, especially if you're trying to win big money championships. Hopefully you've already wrapped up your fantasy football season like we talked about, and hopefully you won a championship. That's the end goal for everybody playing fantasy. But this week, this Thursday, we've reserved it for, I know Festivus is over, but we're still going to air some grievances. And I brought on Jake Biasotto. He is the host of Talking 215. It's an Eagles podcast, but look, if there's a fan base out there that has stuff to complain about, it's the Eagles fan base. Jake, welcome to the show and this very special episode of Airing of Grievances.
Oh, Rod, thank you so much. No, like you hit the nail on the head with that. Philadelphia will certainly give you anything and everything to complain about. So this episode, this topic is right up my alley.
Beautiful. Like I said, I already know it's the new year. Festivus is done, but we still, especially as fantasy football players, obviously have players that were on our roster that we had such high hopes for. We talked about some of them on Tuesday, some of the biggest fantasy disappointments. But now we're really just going to get into it. We're just going to let it all hang out for 3 minutes and complain because it's cathartic and we all need it. whether we won or lost with these guys, it's still something to gripe about. So, yes, Jake, how did you do in your leagues, by the way, this season?
You know, I was in five leagues. I won the championship in one of them. I had one league that you could go through a whole text thread that of just me airing my grievances. I mean, answer me this. Is there anything more stupid than divisional buys?
Oh,
like they split the divisions in whoever is the leader in that division. Cause I tied for first at 11-3, and a guy in the East division or whatever was 7-7 and gets the bye over me. And that week one of the playoffs was such a disappointment for so many people. So I get bounced week one. And of course, like I set my lineups just cause as the cynical person I am, I was like, let's see what would have happened had I gotten a bye, and I would have won the whole thing.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, but so I did win in one of my dynasty leagues. So that's always a good time.
Yeah. And I don't know. Divisions to me have always felt forced, like, especially in a 12 team league where it's six teams per division. Nah, just put it all, you know, I like the way our, SGPN DGens league had it, where you get a point for a win and then a point for league median being over the league median. I've never done that before. I am a fan. I don't know that I'll ever want to go back to anything other than that. That was a good way to do it.
Oh no, I'm in one league where it does it that way. And it's like you said, it's a much more fair and balanced way. The top teams get rewarded. And you know, even if you have one of those weird weeks where you're the second highest score and you lose to the number one score, you still kind of get that little kick in the back end.
It's like an overtime point in hockey, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
At least you tried. I'll take that. Although I will say, since we're airing grievances, this happened a couple of seasons ago and I'm not in this league anymore. And in fact, the league doesn't exist anymore. But so we had drafted, and I mean, look, when you draft, there's an adult beverage or two around. I'm just saying.
Oh, no doubt. You know.
So we were setting up the league and nobody really realized, and I was the commissioner and I had never really done ESPN commission before. So ESPN leagues are by default 2-week playoffs or 2-week championships rather.
Wow.
I didn't know that. So,
yeah.
So sure enough, I lose the first week of the playoffs, but I went back the next week and I was like, wait, why can I still set my lineup? So I set my lineup. Sure enough, I won the second week and I won by more points. So I actually won the championship, but I took it to the league and they were like, no, nobody knew. And I was like, we had all season long for you to read the rules. Like, yeah. So yeah, needless to say, I didn't get the money.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I was pretty pissed off. And I really was too. I mean, I thought,
oh yeah.
Look, I thought to check the next week. Why didn't he? Because
he won. Exactly. Exactly. You had some land to stand on there.
Yeah. Well, like I said, the league doesn't exist anymore because I folded it anyway. So like, I'm taking my toys. I'm going home. Screw you. So, all right. I think we've got a good primer going. We're gonna start getting into some players now. The individually in 2021 really let us down, and I mean in a big way. So, Jake, I'm giving you the first five. As a guest, I feel like, you know, I'm gonna give you a chance to just start it out and let me know where your head's at. Absolutely. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna load the clock with 3 minutes. We're gonna go down the first one, and then when you hear the timer, we just keep on moving until we get to the end of your five, and then hopefully my five, there's some crossover for you as well. So
wonderful.
Let us begin in Atlanta. Whoa, that's the laugh track. I guess that is funny. Wrong button. All right, let
not
us begin.
Not if you drafted him.
See? In Atlanta, where Mike Davis was supposed to be the savior of the running game over there. And then all of a sudden, it turns out to be Cordero Patterson. So, Jake, please get us started about Mike Davis and why he is first on your list.
Mike Davis was first on my list because he was kind of in that position where you draft him, where you're thinking, like, you know what? I'm smarter than the rest of the league. Like, I'm taking this guy. Everybody's like, okay, it was cute. He was a fun RB1 when CMC went out last year in Carolina. Like, he's not going to be able to translate to being a true, you know, number one role kind of guy. And you take him thinking like, no, like he's going to slip. You're going to take wide receivers early because it's a full point PPR and you're playing 6-point receiving touchdowns. You're trying to double dip early on those wide receivers. So you grab that sure thing RB2 in the later rounds, 4 through 7 or something. So Mike Davis, like I said, average draft position of about 57. They say it's 56.8. So right there in those early to middle rounds and all. He was the 22nd drafted running back. So kind of that low end RB2 range if you're in a 12 team league, very high end RB3 in the 10 teams. And there's reason why he was there. 2020 puts up 206.5 points in standard full point PPR. And then you go to 2021, 136.4 points. His best week, I mean, it's a solid week, 16.9, that's week 13. But if that's your best week, especially coming off of a 2020 where he had multiple games, I believe week 2, he almost had 30 points. And then he had 2 weeks of just 1.8, weeks 9 and 10, back-to-back 1.8. After week 5, only had one time that he went back-to-back double digits, and both of them was like 11 and 13. So super inconsistent, super disappointing. But as you touched on, opened the door for arguably the waiver wire pickup of the year. And I got lucky where I got Cordell Patterson, and so I had that handcuff right off the bat. But I know a lot of people drafted Mike Davis and didn't get as lucky to go and get Cordell Patterson, which, I mean, look, he hurt. Oh, is that the timer?
No, you're good. Keep going.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So obviously he kind of hurt you at the very end towards that late playoff push and into the playoffs where he was getting very low end double digits, nothing near where he was going 30 plus occasionally. Obviously you're not going into there assuming that any player aside from maybe a Jonathan Taylor or a high end quarterback is going to get you those numbers. But that kind of 9 to 14 range through weeks 13 to 16 definitely hurt. But Mike Davis, you know, we can talk about Cordell Patterson another time. Mike Davis was a complete letdown, complete just airing of grievances. Mike Davis, like, I am not taking you next year. That is for sure.
You got taken over by a wide receiver gimmick player. Like, that is what a running back does.
He's like 30-something. Like, he's not young.
No.
It's not like Mark Ingram in 2017 having Alvin Kamara at the end of the year take over. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Mike Davis. I don't know. I mean, again, this is a guy that you're probably not even going to touch next year. I don't know that his situation improves. And look, Cordero Patterson, everybody goes, well, you know, the league catches up to players like that. And look, up until now, he hadn't even had that big of an impact as he has this year. So,
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I doubt he'll have that same impact next year.
Yeah, I agree. But even still, Mike Davis is even less of a factor than Cordero Patterson's going to be next year. All right, let's move on to his former teammate that you have on the list. You have some beef with Julio Jones. The injury bug has some beef with Julio Jones as well. Certainly. But yeah, I mean, look, this was a huge disappointment just straight out of the jump. So what you got on Julio Jones there, Jake?
Oh, certainly. Like you said, like the injuries definitely kind of have some beef with this guy, and it really does play a factor. But look, the guy's been nursing a hamstring since 1943. Like, it's been going on for so long that you drafted him knowing that his hamstring's tight or knowing that it's a problem. But he was drafted on average the 45th player taken. So you're looking pretty high there. He was the 17th drafted wide receiver. So that's like a middle to high end, you know, wide receiver too. And even last year, he was injured a fair amount, but you saw glimpses of Julio being Julio. He finished with 146.1 points. Again, that's standard full point PPR. This year, just a fraction of that. Injuries certainly played a big factor, and he finished with 63.6. He brought you up real quick, right off the bat. Best week of his season was week 2, 18.8 points. You're like, here we go. This is exactly what we signed up for. We are rolling. And then proceeded to the rest of the entire season. I believe the math works out to 44.2 or 44.8 points the rest of the season. Obviously missed a lot of time there, but his worst week was a 0 point week in week 15. He did play that week, by the way, just did not have any impact. He only had one double digit game the entire season, and that was week 2. For a guy that you're taking at 45, depending on the league you're in, that could be the very end. The very end of a round 4 or the very beginning of round 5. So you are expecting to get some value there. And injuries aside, the guy I steered clear, I actually traded him in my dynasty league last year, and I cashed in, grabbed me some Mike Evans on that deal.
Wow.
So I certainly cashed in. There's other pieces involved, but I like to say it was just Julio for Mike Evans. You know, it makes me feel good. But no, certainly a massive letdown. I'd be really curious to see where he goes next year. But another guy I'm steering well clear of.
I think you have to at this point. There's no way that Julio Jones stays healthy for an entire year the way he is right now, and he didn't this year. And look, you got nothing out of him out of the jump. And you thought him and A.J. Brown would be a perfect pairing with Tannehill. Oh, yeah. I mean, I know Derrick Henry gets the ball quite a bit there anyways, which kind of takes into both of those receivers. But you thought that would be a great 1-2 punch. You got nothing. You didn't even get Hawaiian punch out of that.
So, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, poor Julio. How the mighty have fallen. And he thought he was going to be in for it too once he left Atlanta. He thought he'd be in for a whole lot more.
Yeah, he was telling Shannon Sharp, you know, I'm out of there. Like, can't wait. You know, I ain't going to the Cowboys. And there he goes, heading on over to what seemed to be a great situation. I mean, he's not on my list, but you could really put even Ryan Tannehill kind of in this Aaron agreement. So who knows who's more at fault? I'm going to say Julio, though.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna say Julio as well. Because, I mean, Tannehill, you kind of knew what you were getting out of Tannehill.
Exactly.
Like a low-end QB1, high-end QB2 in a flex. So, all right, let's continue our errands of grievances with another wide receiver. This one, I want to know your reasoning because I know a lot of folks that were happy. You look at the stats, though. Okay, maybe not. But they got some good weeks out of Chase Claypool when they needed it. But your errands of grievance with Chase begins and ends how, Jake?
Just the lack of consistency. And you can argue like that's on Big Ben's dying arm. You can argue a lot of things. There's a lot of weapons over there. You know, it's tough. It's a tough target share. But at the end of the day, you're having a rookie that put up 214.9 points who follows that performance up with 148.6. Like, the sophomore slump is real. And when you're drafted as the 68th overall pick, the 26th overall wide receiver, so again, that's low-end wide receiver 2, extremely high-end wide receiver 3, you're expecting consistent double-digit weeks. And don't get me wrong, his high was very good. He had a 24-point week, week 5. But then his lows, I mean, this is games where he's playing 60, 70, 80% snaps. And he had multiple games in the low single digits, with the worst being a 1.9-point performance, one catch for 9 yards in week 15. I mean, you drafted this guy hoping that he's just going to build upon a stellar rookie season that kind of got overshadowed by Justin Jefferson. And you got an absolute shell of that. If you were, you know, lucky and you were able to get him in kind of those daily fantasy sports where you picked him on the perfect week, I could see how he wouldn't fall on your list at all. But if you have him in your fantasy football league and you draft him to be a wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, at the end of the day, you're going to be disappointed.
And you didn't know when, just like you said, the consistency. You didn't know which week to play him. You could start him. Okay, your 10 points, that's probably what you got. You wanted to get out of him that first week. Then he follows it up with a 9-point week, and you're like, ah, man, he's a flex. Maybe I don't play him. Then he follows that up with an 18-point week, and you're like, ah, man, what do I even do at this point? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. I get consistency. And that's one of the things that you'll find with a lot of fantasy players, and why start sits are such a huge part of what we do, right?
No, exactly. Too many people just think that they look at the matchup and they just see what they did the previous week, or they fail to look at the matchup and just see what they did the previous week, fail to do any kind of weekly research to see what the injury report says, who he's going up against as a DB, you know, the style of defense that they play, man versus zone and everything. That's why tuning into a show like yours is so valuable to somebody that really wants to get that edge against their competitor, rather than just saying, oh, he had 18 points last week. Obviously, he's a start. He's a must start. Not seeing that he's going to be going up against one of the top corners in the league in a windy game, you know, in 40-degree weather. Like, you got to take that into account.
Or that 18-point game because the guy that was the number one receiver got injured and he ended up taking most of the snaps. And, you know, yeah, I mean, there's
no garbage time points. You know, they're down a million and they're just giving them 20 yard plays.
Well, that's the Steelers all season, right? No. Look, so I will say that for Chase Claypool, I do have a soft spot for Canadians because I do like the CFL. So I would like to see his situation improve. And who knows who'll be the arm over there in Pittsburgh next year. We know it's not Ben. So I wonder, to your point,
how many wide receivers have we seen have that year three takeoff?
Yeah.
I mean, every year there's that third year, just absolute takeoff. Calvin Ridley. You can even throw Hunter Renfrow in that this year. You know, you have these guys year three just blast off. So he could be well poised, depending on, like you said, who's throwing him the ball.
But he was a 2021 Grievance Award winner in this instance. So, all right, look, I know that you can find Twitter occurrences of Allen Robinson being ridiculously lambasted and folks gnashing their teeth, probably missing playoffs if they had Allen Robinson on their roster. So, Jake, walk us through the lamentation of Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson, a guy that was average draft pick 31. So he's drafted pretty stinking high. For good reason, puts up 262 points the year prior. Like, that's big time numbers for a wide receiver. And look, you're excited. You got Justin Fields coming in, you know, the field general out there doing his thing. You're thinking nothing but you know, green pastures and open skies. You understand that there is a little bit of hesitancy of him to sign that franchise tag. You know, he wasn't in love with the town there, but how many times you see a guy that wants to play his way out of a city? He plays great, trying to increase his trade value to, you know, get his team to be like, look, I can't say no to this offer. So you had kind of that perfect storm culminating where you really thought this guy could just take off and be a true, you know, continue to be in that wide receiver one kind of class. Obviously not wide receiver one, but, you know, through that top 12. And I understand he was kind of nicked up. That's kind of the whole theme of his entire career. But you ask anybody in the NFL, everybody's playing hurt. It just matters if you're playing injured or not. And like I said, 262 points last year, 80.8 points this year, where he did play a fair amount of games. But outside of a dynasty league, you really aren't holding him. Like, you can't keep him on your roster with the edge really coming off of a waiver wire. You don't win the league on, you know, draft day. You win it on the waiver wire. At least that's what I think. And you unless you had some weird league where you have extremely large benches, like, he wasn't a keep unless, like I said, it was in a dynasty league kind of setting.
I mean, looking at his game log in a PPR, I'm seeing two games where he went over double digit fantasy points. That is highly unacceptable. And, you know, everyone's like, well, Fields. Yeah, but okay, that was most of them were with Fields, that his single digit fantasy games. You know, you're right. You did draft this guy to be at least your wide receiver two, if not your high-end wide receiver three. And all season long, you barely got flex, if any, value out of him. So, I don't know. I mean, going forward, even with Fields, maybe Fields has got to actually step up quite a bit to make Allen Robinson a thing. But he may not even be there next year, right? That's what we're saying.
Who? Allen Robinson? No way. No chance.
Yeah. I
mean, maybe he'll come on over to Philadelphia.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Mr. I'm wearing a Philadelphia shirt. Would you accept him in Philadelphia?
Oh, I'd love a guy like Allen Robinson here. We are so desperate need of an X wide receiver, just a larger body, go up and get it, kind of trust a guy, wide receiver, that he'd be a great fit here. We need a veteran presence in that room as well, with almost all of our wide receivers being either, you know, rookies or sophomores.
Well, our head cheese is a big, one of our head cheeses is a big Eagles fan. I'll see if he agrees with you on that or not. All right. Okay. We talked about the Philadelphia Eagles, and here it is. We queued it up for last on the list before the break, because this is one that I know you'll be passionate about. Miles Sanders is on your list, Jake. All right. You have the floor. Go ahead with Miles Sanders.
Look. There's a couple of things that would lead Miles Sanders to being on this list that aren't in his control. You have the first 3 weeks of the season where you are one of the least rushing attempts per game teams in the NFL. Like, that's out of his control. He was averaging something like 5.8 yards per carry, but he's only getting 6 carries. Like, that's not on him. But then you flip the switch and you turn into the number one rushing team in the entire NFL. You miss a few games. I get that. But then you come back, and we talk about on our show that 12-carry Barry. Are you going to break that 12-carry barrier? And he did many times. And the reason he's on the list is because he may be the single worst red zone running back in the NFL, a starting running back. He cannot get an inch inside of the 20. I mean, they every time you're watching Eagles game, and obviously I watch all of them, and he's in the game, every single week you're hearing, oh, you know, Miles Sanders, he leads the league in yards without a touchdown. You know, maybe this is the game. So that's that stat right there tells you why you got to air your grievances with this guy. He's getting yards. His average yards per carry is incredible. I believe he's first in the league with yards before contact. That's the offensive line of Jonathan Stoutland. Stoutland, not really Miles Sanders necessarily, but either way, like, he's doing well, but you got to be able to get in the end zone. That's where you're getting your big points. You know, 6-point play. If you're not getting it, you're not worth anything to me. And you were averaged the 38th overall draft pick. And so that's of all, you know, drafted players. So that's pretty high. You're a number of teams, if they went heavy wide receiver, are drafting you to be their running back one. And you did not live up to it. And it's disappointing.
And you got to figure in a standard where, yeah, touchdowns carry a whole ton of weight. Because, I mean, PPR, he didn't really do a whole lot either. A few catches here and there. But, yeah I mean, Jake, how many times did he get in the end zone all season long?
Zero.
Yes. Not a single touchdown for Miles Sanders. And that is a hard stat to believe, because you got to figure that at some point you fall into the end zone at least once or twice, right? Boston Scott.
And they gave him so many opportunities.
Yeah.
Like, first and goal on the three, and they give him three straight rushes for 7 inches. Like, it's ridiculous. The guy does, like, I don't know. He's great in the open field. You get him close quarters and he just can't get a yard.
That's just,
you, I got, mean, 5 foot nothing Boston Scott pounding it in fourth and goal from the six, knocking people over, and you got Miles Sanders, who's drafted to be a wide receiver one, unable to, just, you know, he's falling down by the flap of a butterfly's wing.
I love me some Boston Scott, though. I don't know what it is about that guy. He's scrappy.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Although, what do you think of Gainwell? Does he cut into Sanders' value at all next year, or what?
Quite possibly. I mean, Gainwell really possesses, you're talking PPR, he really possesses a ton of PPR value. You hear on sports talk radio in the city all the time, like, they want this guy lined up as a slot wide receiver. I mean, the guy has incredible hands. He was a quarterback in high school, and he had more receiving yards and rushing yards in college. So he really is kind of that receiving back that also possesses great running ability. Not great yet. A little bit problem with ball security, but stuff that can be worked on. Really, the number one thing that I think Miles needs to be scared about is the fact that we were extremely successful running in his absence. That our offensive line is arguably, when healthy, the top running offensive line in the league. And so you don't need to spend insane amount of cap space on a true running back one when you're having Jordan Howard, practice squad Howard, out here. Boston Scott, gadget player, you know, giant slayer, that's great. And then fifth round pick Kenny Gainwell going for 80 yards on 12 carries apiece. Now, you don't need to spend all that money on a true RB1. So I think that cuts into his value on the team more than anything else.
Not to mention you got a running or a quarterback that can run too. So I'm telling you, that Eagles team looks kind of scary down the stretch. It's next season, there'll be an interesting one for you guys. So
next season.
All right. Fine.
Season's not over.
You still got time left. The postseason will be very interesting for you. But I mean, you got to figure next season too. So.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
All right. As we look ahead to the next fantasy football season, we're going to come back from the break with my list of 5 grievances that I've got to air, because there are some players that I really need to commiserate with folks with. So stick around. We'll be right back. If I know you, and I'm betting I do, I know you're ready to win money and boost your odds. Well, WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. As always, you get exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. So get in on all your favorite teams, players, sports from the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and so much more. Plus, WynnBET has some brand new bonuses. If you bet $5, you can win $400 in free bets. Plus, this is fun. Win a VIP trip to Shaq's Funhouse in LA. Bet $20 on WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet feature and earn a chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime experience for the big game. You and three guests are going to get a VIP experience at Shaq's Funhouse. Two nights at Wynn Las Vegas, a $5,000 free bet, a Wynn Las Vegas sportsbook, and a $5,000 travel credit. Who does not want to spend some time with Shaq and some cash? Hit town on that. There's great promos, odds, and payouts are happening all right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. Are you ready to play? Yeah, you are. Sign up today. You're going to get a special offer. It's a risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com. Of course, we're always brought to you by PropSwap. It is America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. The NFL playoffs and college football championships are around the corner, and PropSwap has the best odds on all football futures. If you see a ticket you like, but you think the price is too high, submit a bid for a price that you think is fair, then buy it. You can always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors just like yourself. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap is going to double up to $500. Say it with me for the last time in the regular season. Double the cash means double the odds. Sellers across the country list their sports bet for sale, and thousands of buyers visit PropSwap every single day to find the best odds on futures, props, and parlays. This week, Derek from Colorado, Mile High, purchased a Georgia College Football Championship ticket on PropSwap at odds of minus 120. It's a huge discount compared to the sportsbook, who currently have the Bulldogs at minus 150. If you are not using PropSwap, then you, my friend, are missing out. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. You've got plenty of them, whether you made it to the fantasy football playoffs, championships, or won the whole thing or not. Players on your rosters that you need to just get it off your chest that they let you down in a major way. Not as human beings. Let's not attack them as human beings. But look, they get paid to do a job, and unfortunately, they did not win us a fantasy championship in some cases. So we had Jake go first. Jake Biasotto, he is the host of Talking 215. And he went first with his five. Now it's my turn to get some stuff off my chest. And it begins with Ronald Jones. I thumped this guy's drum for weeks heading into this 2021 season. I had thought, I don't know if it was like every other analyst out there, maybe there were some that were smarter than me that thought, well, no, Ronald Jones isn't going to do good because Fournette's going to take it all. I thought this was the year of Rojo, and unfortunately, it became the year of Nojo, where Leonard Fournette really did solidify the fact that he is a good running back, and that Jacksonville kind of did him a disservice being there, and that he was right to leave. And I'm not going to begrudge Fournette that. I mean, look, he needed to prove that to everybody, to himself, to the world. We forget, I think, because people get stuck on the Jaguars that they're good players. And so with Fournette being able to go to a contender and be good for the second year in a row, that left Ronald Jones out of the cold. And for real, he just did not do well at all. Did not get the work up until the last couple of weeks with Fournette being injured, but 8 carries, 3 carries, 1 carry, 7 carries. That's not going to get it done on a week-to-week basis unless you have like 30 yards per carry. But obviously we know that Ronald Jones doesn't. So for me, my biggest thing was I was drafting him obviously to be that running back too. And I really, in a lot of drafts, went heavy on Ronald Jones thinking that that's exactly what was going to happen. I was wrong. And I was wrong to the tune of like three leagues that I didn't even make the fantasy football playoffs in because I put my faith in Ronald Jones. And I was too stubborn to drop him because I thought, no, Fournette can't be sustainable. This can't be something that he does week after week. But then he did it week after week, damn it. And Ronald Jones was the short end of that stick. And I mean, unless he goes to a different team, this could be more of the same with Ronald Jones, which sucks.
No, certainly. You're not alone with that, beating that Rojo drum. I thought personally, he's on a contract year. He's got to really prove it. Like you said, whether it's to stay here or to go on another team and be their featured guy. In my dynasty league, I think it was 2 years ago. I mean, just to show you how high people were, at least at one point, on Ronald Jones. We bagged on it the day it was made, but somebody traded Ronald Jones and the 107 for the 101. And I like, they were just like, oh, he's going to be the featured back. Like, I got a running back one and the 107, you got fleeced for the 101. Absolutely fleeced. But a lot of people were in that camp that this guy, had it. And I drafted him in number leagues, myself, but I will say, to my credit, I dropped him pretty quick.
Yeah, I did not. In fact, I had him on my Scott Fishbowl team. And again, I did not want to let go of him because in Scott Fishbowl, you can't pick him back up again. Like, if you drop him, that's it. Somebody's going to snag him because it's warm body that has an opportunity to score points. And with the waiver wire being so thin in those leagues, there's no way you're going to let go of him. But I got to tell you, I hardly ever played him, and I only played him in desperation. So it kind of nipped me in the. Now look, I managed to get into the conference finals, but it certainly wasn't because of Ronald Jones. It was because of the other guys around him. But Ronald Jones, those first couple of weeks, I kept him in my lineup because I thought for sure this was going to be the Ronald Jones week. This was going to be the Ronald Jones week, and it wasn't.
No,
and it never became the Ronald Jones week. Maybe it will someday, but it did not in 2021. Which is the same that we can say about Kenny Golladay. Again, another guy who I thought the change of scenery. I knew that the Giants were not the best destination for him, but I thought at least he and Daniel Jones would have a little bit of chemistry, would have a little bit of something, and that for once, maybe Daniel Jones had that super deep threat. I mean, look, Sterling Sharp, say what you will, right? I mean, but Kenny Golladay was the burner, the missing piece, the guy that was supposed to come and be Daniel Jones' saving grace. Now, look, I know injury has to deal with a lot of this stuff that we talk about, but there was still no production, even in the beginning of the season. Like, he came out of the gate with four catches for 64 yards, barely a double-digit fantasy day in PPR. Then he fills it up with a three-catch, 38-yard game against the football team, right? I mean, his stat line reads like elementary school math problems. They're just literally that low of numbers. So you really put your faith in this guy, especially if you put your faith in this guy, because I know that there was a lot of folks like me that said Kenny Golladay was going to be on to great things with the Giants and resurrect the Giants. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. And, he's still, it's funny because at the end of the season, he was still rostered in 48% of Yahoo leagues and 56% of ESPN leagues.
Yikes.
Which means people were stubborn and did not want to let go of him because they thought Kenny Golladay was going to do something for them, and he didn't.
I mean, you're right on it. I mean, hotel, motel, Golladay Inn. And as an Eagles fan, everything you said made me very happy. Giants team as a whole. But again, you can look at that whole team, like you said. They haven't had a wide receiver score a touchdown, I believe, in like 10 weeks now. And, so it's a product of the institution, not necessarily a product of himself. But either way, selfishly, I don't care. I love it. I love it. Inside of fantasy, outside of fantasy, just hearing everything about how poorly their wide receivers perform just makes me happy. They haven't had a winning record at any point in a season, I believe, in the last 5 years.
Oh, God, that's awful.
But that's not fantasy anyway.
I mean, but it's fantasy relevant, right? Because you saw how Saquon Barkley even fell apart this year, too, even before and after the injuries, obviously. Daniel Jones couldn't keep it through the whole season. Kadarius Toney, their big pickup at wide receiver, a big no-show, basically. Had some flashy weeks, but then basically
he had a week or two.
Yeah, right. I mean, one you're like, yeah, see. And then the Tony Truthers came out and said, this is the guy, and then he disappeared again. So, yeah, you're right. Institutionally, was not a good move for Kenny Golladay to go there. But I mean, does he stay? I know that everyone's like, well, he's under contract, but we've seen contracts come and go as quick as either one of them want. So. I don't know if Kenny Golladay is going to be happy enough to want to continue to be a Giant. Would you take him on the Eagles?
Oh, you kidding me? I mean, he kind of falls into that same mold of players that we have now, but you can't turn your nose at Kenny Golladay. Yeah. And I really think he does leave. I mean, you look at how many players left even in training camp. Like, you got a clown of a head coach literally calling other teams clowns. Mm-hmm. You know, they at practice, they were playing the Eagles fight song. I mean, I guess they were just expecting to hear it over and over after we score touchdown after touchdown on them. But like that, it's just a weird system there. And I joked, I said Jake Fromm equaled Mike Glennon, and that's an insult to both of them. Like, it's not like Jake Fromm is greater than, like, they're about the same, and that's not a compliment to either of them. So I certainly would expect to see him wanting to get out of there.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's just a matter of these guys. Sometimes they just need another fresh start. Like, to get one, it doesn't pan out. They need another fresh start.
Yeah.
All right. So the next guy that I need to vent about a little bit might seem a little bit misconstrued, and you could even push back on this one because I feel this might not be a popular take, but I am frustrated with Russell Gage. And I'm frustrated with him not because I don't think that he didn't do good this season, but he didn't show up when I absolutely needed him, and that was in week 16. Because, you know, up until then, he'd been okay for me. Jacksonville, he had 18 points. Tampa Bay, he had 22. San Francisco, he had 23. But even before that, after Calvin Ridley left, right, and he started to get work, it was frustrating because I put him in, especially that week in New England where he got me 9.9 points. Then I took him out because I thought, I don't know if I can trust him. I got another person and I can't remember exactly now the move that I made, but I know I put Russell Gage on the bench. Then he got 18 points against Jacksonville. I did put him in for Tampa, and he did good there in 22, but then again, he came back in Carolina with a 10-point performance. So I feel like it should have all been like 22 points. Like, I feel like Calvin Ridley should have given me, not Calvin Ridley, Russell Gage. Calvin Ridley probably would have given me that much. But with Calvin Ridley out, Russell Gage should have been high 20s or low 20s, high teens every single week. So I don't know. I'm bitter because I didn't win in the league that I had Russell Gage, and I thought I was being smart by having him. And it turns out that I wasn't, especially down the stretch. Like I said, against Detroit, 5.9 points in that week 16 matchup. Yeah, and that was the championship, or that was the playoff matchup, rather, in my sleeper league that I had him, and I lost in that game because he didn't give me the San Francisco-type performance that he gave the week before. And I rolled him out thinking, yes, I got this, and unfortunately, I did not. So I didn't even make it to his 8-point outing against Buffalo, which I'm sure pissed a lot of fantasy owner managers off, too, because, again, you see a point total like 23 points against the Niners, you're thinking you're home free, you think you got a championship. Then he puts up not even double digits the next 2 weeks in the playoffs and the championship game. So, Russell Gage, I love you as a human being, but yeah, I need to just walk away.
No, I was going to say, you know, prior to you pointing out the 5 points against the Lions, I was going to say, I think the problem here is you not starting a player against the Jags defense, because that is certainly a matchup that I always look towards. But then you made a great counterpoint with the, you know, against the Lions, who are equally as putrid in the defensive secondary, only getting 5 points. Now, I get it. I understand it. I'm sure if he was on my team, I would have similar feelings. You know, I didn't not draft him because I didn't like him. I just, you know, he wasn't there available at the position that I at the point that I valued him at. But I can certainly understand, especially like you said, like I had Chase Claypool. A lot of people would argue that that was out of place. I mean, but like you said, you, the inconsistency where you need them to get those double digit true wide receiver one, wide receiver two, or high end wide receiver three numbers, and just shrinking in the moment to where it cost you in extremely valuable times. You know, if he had those games early in the year, you may not feel that way, but when they're in those rounds of the playoffs, it certainly leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, it hurts. And for those of you who are going to come back at me and say, well, Rod, he only had like 3 single digit fantasy points games all season or 4, then, you know, you need to shut up. You're right. You're right. I know. But by the same token, like, look, if you had him on your roster, you're probably frustrated as I am. So go away. Unless you actually won, in which case, congratulations. You're a much better fantasy player than me. Which is probably true anyways. I don't really know. So, all right. The fantasy season may be over, but the action is still coming on the Better Fantasy app. Download their free-to-play app today to bet on player props for the NFL playoffs. You can also enter their player prop pools and score big when you win. In fact, on the Sports Gambling Podcast website right now, there are some bets to get you started on that Better Fantasy prop adventure. And we love it, because we can win awesome prizes and even raise money for some charities along the way too via the prop bet. It's totally free to play. You'll earn better credits by completing challenges and using them to place your bets. Better Fantasy is available worldwide and in all 50 states. So download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN. Every week I ask you, I still want to know the answer. When did sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social, right? Because when I picture sports betting, as always, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in a speakeasy. Well, SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. So head over right now to SoBet.io and create an account and see for yourself. Through their fully functioning and free web application, you can access a demo of their app, which is going to launch next fall. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed of what other people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, links, all among other methods. No money is transacted on the app, and it is purely competitive. So the next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch. Go to SoBet.io and see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Vegas odds, or they can generate a bet by changing any metrics they want, as long as somebody's on the other end to accept. Let's get back to the roots of betting with SoBet. Go to SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN today to join the revolution. And as always, make sure you're downloading that SGPN app. It is always live in the App Store and the Google Play Store, giving you access to our picks, easy access to our picks, and of course, all the podcasts just like this one. So don't forget to toss us an app review and download the SGPN app today. And speaking of better fantasy players than me, I know better fantasy players than me probably stayed away from T.Y. Hilton by and large. Wow, T.Y. Man, I love the guy. I really do. And I gave him a shot because I thought he's on the back end of his career, but he's still with the team that just got Carson Wentz. Say what you will about Carson Wentz. You should know better than I that Carson Wentz is a nightmare that most teams don't want. But he actually did well. And I thought, okay, well, when T.Y. comes back, we're in for some goodness. We're in for some fun because T.Y. will actually probably mesh well with Carson Wentz and do great things. Well, he did okay things. He didn't do great things like we needed him to do. And there was at least two or three rosters that I had T.Y. Hilton on that I was waiting on T.Y. to come back and produce. I thought I was, just like you had said earlier, I thought I was smarter than everybody else. I thought I'm grabbing T.Y. Hilton in the late rounds and I'm going to hold on to him and just wait it through. Well, unfortunately, none of that really worked. Again, he had okay games, right? In the championship week, if you started him, you were lucky you got 15 points out of him. But in week 15 before that, 2.9, 4.2 against the Texans in week 13. Oof. He certainly didn't get you there. But but I'm just saying, like, it was a tough sled for me, especially when you have 3 points against Tennessee, 1.5 points versus Jacksonville, 4 against Buffalo. It was a rough roller coaster. You don't start him. And then Tampa, he turns around and gets 12.8. Like, what the hell, T.Y.? Like, you literally just threw up 1 point against the worst defense out there, only to turn around and score 12 points against Tampa, which, you know, considering their pass defense is soft. But, yeah, I mean, look, T.Y. and me, we go back a long way. I've had him on several of my rosters over the years, but this may be the last time I take a chance on him again.
Yeah, and understandably so. You go into it, and obviously us in Philadelphia followed Carson Wentz pretty closely and almost to a strange point with some fans. You can see some weird stuff with the whole Carson Wentz stuff in Philadelphia. But what you saw a lot of was reports that he and T.Y. built a great relationship. Like, they had chemistry off the field, and you knew they both have talent, and you would assume that that chemistry would translate to on-field points, and you didn't see it, to your point. And you even drafted him. I know a lot of leagues, you had the possibility of just picking him up, you know, a week or two before he was designated to return. And he was picked up in almost every league. So people made, you know, took that chance, and you kept thinking like, oh, he's coming off an injury, he's going to work through it. And it just never seemed to culminate into any kind of positive fantasy play.
Yeah, I mean, you don't got to tell me. I lived it. I mean, I did. I thought I was getting a jump on everybody, and I did. I mean, obviously, I had him on my roster when a lot of people were going to the waiver wire for him, and I sort of just held that bench spot there for him, and maybe that was my downfall, is that I held that, and maybe that's why I'm even more bitter, is because I held that bench spot for him when I could have probably tried to shuffle around three or four more players in that capacity, but whatever, you take your chance and you die on a hill, and that's the hill I died on. So, another hill I died on, an absolutely terrible hill that I died on, was Cole Beasley. Now, I mean, here's the thing.
Started out high.
Right. I was thinking, yes, we're in it. Let's go. But boy, you want to talk about a fall off. After week 10, like, he was posting double-digit fantasy points totals, like, right up until then. He only had a couple of clunkers. You know, one against Kansas City, the other against the Jets. But, you know, you're right. You're riding high, right? First 10 weeks, you're thinking, man, I got the Cole Beasley I thought I was going to get. And so you kept starting him, and you kept starting him. And this is one that I had on my Scott Fishbowl team that I rolled out every week without question. His box was always checked, except for the bye week. And I rode with the bad weeks. I was like, okay, fine. You know, not everyone's going to be a stellar week with Cole Beasley, especially with Stephon Diggs on the same team, right? But then all of a sudden, in week 10, that was it. Like, this next good week after that was week 14 in Tampa Bay. And by then, I wasn't starting him anymore because he gave me weeks of 3.5, 6.3, 9.6, 2.1 in a PPR. That's not going to get you started. That's going to keep you on the bench. And good luck and congratulations to you if you started him in week 14 against Tampa when he got you 15 points. But then he let you down in the game against Carolina to get you in the playoffs. And then championship weeks, he was down with COVID in week 16, came back and threw 6.2 up against Atlanta. Cole Beasley, I think we're done. I don't know that I'm going to try to draft you anymore. As a player, as a slot guy, you obviously bring value to the teams that you're with, but as a fantasy player, you are a nightmare that I no longer want a part of, Cole. That's just me now. I don't know that I'm going to take Cole Beasley in drafts anymore.
Now, he certainly was a tough sting because, like you said, started out hot, and you're seeing targets in the double digits. Not like points. You're seeing double-digit targets healthily into the 12, 13 target range. And you're like, look, he might have a down week or, you know, now or then, but you're not going to see a guy. And it wasn't 1 week. Like, you're seeing it multiple times. He's not going to go away from a wide receiver that he's throwing 12, 13, 14 times. So it'll come right back. They're taking a break, but they're going to get back together. I guess not on your team though, not getting back together there, but it was long enough of a stretch where you're like, I can't get rid of him. You know, I got to keep him for the playoffs. If he gets right back to that, he's going right back in the lineup and he's winning me a ring. And it makes the sting that much more. Like you said, you built it up. He's building that hill, and the higher he gets, just the longer the fall and the harder the fall. And man, did it hurt when you hit the ground. I had him in a couple leagues, And I thought I picked him up. Like, I was like, this guy's on the waiver wire? Like, are you kidding me? Done. Grabbed him and kept him till the very end. And mostly in the starting lineup, waiting for that double-digit target to come back because he knew it was going to be, you know, 12 catches for 65 yards and a touchdown in there somewhere. And it never came back.
Well, and that's the frustrating thing about guys like him is that you know that the week you put him on the bench is the week he blows up. Right. You know this because that's exactly what happens to you every time you try to outthink yourself. You're like, I can't. I got to start him. And like, again, against Miami, he put up 21, which was good. So you keep him in. He did okay against the Jags, 11.3, but you still keep him in. And then against the Jets, it's 3.5. And now you're screwed because then that's the string of, you know, 6.3, 9.6, 2.1 against New England, his old team. I mean, not his old team. I was thinking Edelman, another slot guy. But you know what I'm saying. Like, just terrible outings the whole way through, and then you're done. So,
yeah.
Sorry, Cole. I know it doesn't make you lose any sleep, but that's okay.
It's not me. It's you.
Yeah, 100%. It's you. All right. Speaking of you, Jake, please let everybody know where they can find you all over social media and where they can find your awesome show all about Philly sports.
Oh, yeah. No, like you touched on, we, you know, right now in Philadelphia and really across the nation, football is king. So right now we're primarily Eagles podcast, but we are a 4 for 4 Philly sports podcast, talking 215. That's talking without a G. Facebook, Twitter. We have an Instagram and YouTube. We're looking to expand on that, but mainly active on those two. You can find us on wherever you listen to podcasts. We're on, I believe, every major market podcast, you know, platform out there. Yeah, we have a ton of fun. Me and my co-host Joey, we love having exciting guests on. We're extremely excited. We're having the Thunder from Down Under. Jordan Mailata is coming on in the off season. Been working on getting that locked in, and he responded saying he's in. So we're extremely excited for that. We get a number of local, you know, radio hosts on to hear their story, how they came up in the business that we're all trying to grow in. So we have a ton of fun. We love to talk a little fantasy, obviously. Listen to Rod here for wins. We just kind of talk about more constant frustrations than anything consistently how to win. Especially don't listen to Joey. He calls me a championship. I don't tell him that, but he did.
Uh-oh.
It was him. It wasn't me.
Oh, wait. Air one last grievance then. I want to hear. How did he cost you the championship?
I knew I shouldn't have trusted him because he would tell me every week of the terrible start sits he had. And he's an incredible fantasy football player. I just like, you know, ragging on him, but I hit him up and it was the semifinal week. And I was like, all right, Mac Jones or Trevor Lawrence, you know, Mac Jones has the better pedigree as a rookie season. Trevor Lawrence has a much better matchup. Who are we thinking? Who are we leaning? He lives in Jacksonville. He grew up in the Philadelphia area. So that's where that connection is. And he was like, you know, I think you got to go with Mac here. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And I lose by 8 and Lawrence outscores Mac by 10, and then I would have went on to win the championship the next week. So it's Joey's fault. It has nothing to do with me starting terrible running backs and everything else. I left like 50 points on the bench. So it has nothing to do with those. It only matters the 10 points that he played a role in. But now we have a ton of fun. Yeah, talking 215. If you're a Philadelphia sports fan, if you have anything that you want to yell about, we love having opposing teams fans on too. We just had a Cowboys fan on leading into the backup bowl tomorrow with all the backups playing. So we'll love to have anybody on.
Nice. Again, Jake Biasotto, thank you so much for joining the show, man. I think this seat is open for you anytime you want. This has been a blast. Rod,
thank you so much. No, really, really had a ton of fun. You know, would love to talk fantasy anytime with you and all the professionals over in your network.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bid adieu to the majority of the fantasy football season. It's hard to believe. 59 episodes into the season. You guys have stuck with us. But don't go away. We're still going to have stuff going on all through the offseason. We're going to, in fact, here's a little teaser. The USFL begins very soon. There may be in the works an opportunity for some USFL fantasy football on this show. I probably, you know, spilled the beans, but I'm excited because USFL is coming. So, again, don't leave this feed. Go find Jake, again, for year-round Philly sports, and just to hear his golden tones. That's what I want to know. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, until next week, because we're coming back next week. I'm sorry. DFS is still rolling. There's still fantasy football to be played, just in different formats. So hang tight. Episode 60 is around the corner. And folks, thanks again for a fun fantasy football season. Hopefully this was cathartic for you, and hopefully you got something out of it. But until next time, ladies and gentlemen, let it ride! All right. That is the show.
Beautiful. That's awesome. We're on episode 60 right on the number as well.
Are you really? This one up or what?
Yeah, we just dropped 59 today.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm just dropping 59 today as well.
Oh yeah.
Nice. So when did you guys start?
I started it myself about a year ago, almost to the date where I'll have to look at it, where I think the 12th is our anniversary. Gone through, started it myself. A buddy of mine who's a huge Eagles fan was like, "Oh, I'll do it with you." And I felt that I didn't know.